In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Let's lift our hands and bless his name. Jesus, we thank you for tonight. It's an honor to be here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want us to pray two prayer points very quickly. Hallelujah. Yesterday the Lord showed me a vision that necessitates us praying before we continue. Hallelujah. I saw a mighty manifestation of the spirit of infirmity. I saw like someone blowing something, and then it just went around and I saw people falling sick mysteriously falling sick. And when the Lord shows a thing like this, it is because there is authority to rebuke it. Are we together? Whether you feel healthy or not is not the issue. I'd like us to agree, hold your hands together. We are going to pray. We'll command and declare that our borders are sanctified in the spirit. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Libra kato sada brande gede kalokrosh. Kapronde zagete brakato shipiyata. We command the spirit of infirmity to give way in the name of Jesus. Kado jada barakoto soto balada bala. Ende katakata barato sada baria kato jebrediska. We bind you. We cast you. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that the spirit of infirmity is rebuked over the body of Christ, over this territory. Zegetegete Shabalaros Embrakato Koto Brakata Paratus. Pray Zegetekotashia. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude how that when Archangel Michael was carrying the body of Moses to heaven, Satan stood there and there was a contention. He was interested in the body of Moses. Because you see, no spirit can operate on earth until there is a body that cooperates with it. It's not about sickness. It's not about infirmity. It's a search for bodies. It's a search for vessels. When Jesus was about to rebuke the spirit in the man in Gadara, all the spirits, they said, look, the only reason why we can function in this territory is because there is a body. Now at least help us minimize the punishment as you banish us from this body. Don't banish us from the territory. Why? So that peradventure, if that man becomes available, we can return. I'd like you to pray. I sanctify my body. I decree and declare it cannot be an instrument of sickness. It cannot be an instrument of infirmity. Lift your voice and pray. I speak to my blood. I speak to my blood. I speak to my bones. I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus Christ. Shake it, take it, take it, reke te koto shoto bakata, barakoto sode bakata. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal body. I cause sickness. I cause the eaters of flesh and the drinkers of blood. I cause the drainers of life. My body is sanctified. Mato sekete rekata. Pray. Sekete ketekete. Sekete ketekete. Rekete ketekete bakatosh. Manta bakoto preketea. Brakato soto peketea. I cause spells, I cause enchantments and divinations. Their projections will not find expression in my body. I declare that I am immune, sanctified, immune, above divination, above necromancy, above projections. No manipulations with the stars will project sickness to my body. Pray. Shake it, take it, take it, lekete brandas kataparo katas kalabariata kata. I challenge sickness. I call you by your name and I banish you from my body. I call you by your name and I banish you from my family. I call you by your name and I banish you from my environment. Make sure you are praying. Shabratika to Zebres. Lakata praskato pashia. You have a little child, lay your hands on them. I sanctify you. Sato soto bekea. No sickness, no infirmity, no untimely death. In the name of Jesus. My body is a temple. Shekatos koto brakata. Divinity resides in my body. Matata ko soto brende kete la kataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One last prayer point. That whosoever digs a pit must fall into it. I like you to declare, open your mouth and curse the human entities that partner with spirits to project evil over the lives, the bodies of men. Don't keep quiet. Open your mouth. Shobe ketalia skata. Rekete ketekete. Shapakata katakata kata. Lepros kotobariata kata. Mande sosetekia. We close the heavens over them. We frustrate their counsels in the name of the Lord Jesus. The church of the Lord Jesus is alive. We are not weak. We are not beggarly. There is an anointing upon us. We represent heaven in this territory. Therefore, we define borders. We define spiritual borders for the activity of evil. Thus far have you come, no further shall you go. We pass a decree. We legislate in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, let me teach you something. You see, we're teaching on the dominion mandate. We'll get there shortly. But every time you watch evil loom around your life and you keep quiet and keep silent and hope it will change, you have made the biggest mistake. Are we together? Evil never, never lives by itself. Are we together? Don't wait until it happens too late. From the onset, attack it immediately. Attack it immediately. Are we together? Your phone is missing. Tomorrow your laptop is missing. Next tomorrow your shoe. Don't wait. Already you know. You are sensitive. Close your door. Blast in tongues for 15 minutes. Let me tell you something with Satan. Satan experiments. He pushes something and then sees your depth of spiritual sensitivity. When you are carnally minded, you will look for foolish explanations and then he will suspend it for a while so that you don't pray. He attacks an issue. When it's about to get too much, he knows you will pray, so he will relax. You will remain in that condition, then he brings another one. Before you know it, you have been eaten over by darkness. Whether it is in the middle of a night, you turn and it looks like you felt something on your face. Listen, let me tell you, I won't tell you to do something I'm not doing. Go and ask the devil. You wake up and there is a wicked dream, an evil dream. You went to sleep after prayer. You are in a period of fasting. Then he mocks you. You lie down to sleep and you see someone comes to sleep with you, or one kind of nonsense. Then you just stretch and say, no problem. No. Light or no light, worship or no worship, charge yourself. Call the spirit by name. Listen, let me tell you, when men sleep, things happen in this realm. I have told you. You lie down to sleep and men make incantations, attempting to project your spirit to realms so that they plant things and you return back. You wake up with things you did not sleep with. Are we together? We'll pray again. One more prayer. Just one more prayer. I'd like you to pray and say, enough is enough. Whether you know the name of what is happening to you or not, blast in tongues. The word has come. It's my season of triumph. Mysterious disappearances of items, mysterious coincidences of bad luck. Mato soto brigatai. Pray online, pray outside. I sanctify my borders. I crush the gates of Leviathan. I cross you in the name of Jesus. I lift up the standard of the blood. I invoke the blood. I command the elements of creation to stop cooperating with any human agent that uses the elements of the supernatural to project evil to men. We curse you by the God of heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says, resist the devil. It didn't say discourse. It didn't say hope. It didn't say wish. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you afflicted? Let him pray. That's the requirement. Is anyone afflicted? Affliction is not just sickness. When things are not happening as the word of God said should be, let him pray. Let him pray.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. is you, Lord. All I need is you.
That's why we're here tonight.
For all I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
One more time.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, we acknowledge you tonight. We're gathered here tonight, connecting from across several cities and nations. Lord, tonight we have come to learn, we have come to receive of the Spirit. We have come to learn from the fountain of wisdom. Therefore, we pray that the hallowed bread be broken tonight. Grant us illumination and understanding. Grant us impartation, capacity to rise to deeper and higher dimensions in the Spirit. We receive this because we ask, and we declare that we will give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Please greet someone and be seated. There's a lot to do tonight. Jesus, we bless you. Hallelujah. For as long as we are alive, we will continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We will continue to see that his glory is revealed. One of the things that the advantages of appearing before God every time is that fear dies in your life. Fear is a very wicked spirit. It's a dangerous spirit. Fear has the ability to magnify anything negative. Are we together? When we come before the presence of God, the things that brought fear to you, when you come and watch other men that God has helped, squash them into pieces and trivialize them, then you go back full of faith. Because Satan loves it when he surrounds you with fear and makes it look as if, this is over. This issue in your life and family, there is no hope for it. These are the kinds of platforms where we call the devil a liar. And we don't just say it by calling him. We prove the excellency of the victory and authority of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're discussing the dominion mandate. This is part two. And what a joy. I consider this topic very, very, very instrumental to our understanding and our growth. As you know, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a ministry, and one of it is not just to be the light of the earth, but to equip believers. Our assignment as ministers of the gospel is to prepare believers, to open them up to all the dimensions and the possibilities that are required to be effective in representing Christ. Are we together? And so we piece together all the dimensions that will be required to grant you access to reign. And this, for me, is one of the cardinal teachings of the Christian faith, the dominion mandate, because this encapsulates the will of God right from before the fall of man, and it still represents his desire for us today. We discussed a few things last week. Last week was basically an introduction to what I call the original plan. It is important for every believer to know and to understand the original plan. The average believer has no idea as to why we are here, what necessitated our being here, why the evils. When you understand the dominion mandate, all of a sudden there will be a synergy. The happenings around you, why the devil seeks to destroy men, why the Holy Spirit was given to us, why we must be effective. Without revelation, our commitment will be false and they would not be able to last. Are we together now? So we looked at the original plan, and it's found in Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at 26. The Bible tells us how that when God was going to make man the prime of his creation, Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image. We discussed two things. I said how that, number one, Adam was not the first man created. No. Adam was the first man who introduced our dispensation. That is true. But Adam is not the first human species created. The first created in the image and the likeness of God. Are we together? The Bible is full of several instances of beings and events that happened that predated Adam himself. The mere description of the word subdue as part of the instructions given to Adam suggests that there is an enemy looming somewhere. Hallelujah. And I did tell us that it's important for us to understand that the ultimate, please listen, the ultimate for the believer is not just heaven. Now, I know that evangelically we teach that everything is heaven, and we're not necessarily wrong in that sense. But the whole idea is not just heaven. God's idea is not just to save sinners. Something happened. There was once upon a time where the man God created was not a sinner. Are we together? But there was an instruction given. So Adam was not on earth just because of sin. He was on earth doing something. Sin came and met him, interrupted the plan. So I gave us an analogy last week. How many of us remember how that there was an original plan? Are we together? And that plan is contained in the word dominion, a system of legislature and governance. In one word, dominion is governance, an exercise of sovereign control. Now, the nature of man's dominion must be, man was not given absolute dominion. Man was given delegated dominion. There is a difference. Are we together now? An adumbration of man's dominion was revealed by Joseph in Egypt. Are we together? When Joseph was exalted, he said, you know, I have been made a prime minister, the prince. Every other thing was under his control. It was only in the issue of ranking that Pharaoh, who was a representation of the type of the father, Jesus being Joseph, being the type of Jesus, and the Egyptian woman he married was the type of the church. Are we together now? So all of those are prophetic events that reveal several things. And we see how that God gave man authority. The Bible says the heaven, even the heaven of the heavens, is the Lord's, but it says the earth has he given. That's a very important thing. The earth has he given to the sons of men. When man was being given that access to dominion, Satan had it. Are we together? Satan was somewhere around the earth, and he had everything clear. And from that time, he began to seek for a way to negotiate with man. And the only way he could get man to fall was to get man to do what he did. Treason, rebellion. Are we together? He came through Eve and then lured Adam. And I have taught us again in this place how that Adam fell willingly. Everybody say it. Adam was not deceived. The person who was deceived was Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam fell because of love. He didn't fall because of ignorance. Are we together? And that remains true today. There are few men who fall because of ignorance. It's easy to deceive ladies. It's very difficult to deceive men. They fall because of love. The second Adam also fell because of love. Jesus was not deceived. The Father didn't say, just come and look at earth and then just close heaven and say, I meant to say you should come and die. No. It was a well-calculated thing. His wife, that Eve, had now fallen. There was a separation. So the second Adam, there were many things that parallel Jesus and Adam. He's not just called second Adam just because of the nature of sin. No. Are we together now? He's called the second Adam because
He did what Adam did. And so he looked at his bride and he stripped himself away of his glory and he came to join that bride. Like Adam fell from the glory of God. Are we together now? So redemption is a restoration process. Redemption was not an initial agenda. Redemption was a restoration process. Of course, in the infinite wisdom of God, a program already had been created like that. But experientially speaking, right in the garden, there was no discussion about apostles and prophets and teachers and koinonia and churches and meetings and all of those. No. It was about government. It was about governance. It was about legislature. It was about replicating the fullness of the life, the glory, the character, the nature, the influence of heaven to be able to find expression across all that territory. I hope you know that not every part of earth was like the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a type of God's intention, because as I'm going to be teaching you, it is how God advances. So he creates a prototype of his intention, plants a man there, and gives that man capacity to extend that influence. So Adam's assignment, among other things, was to be able to piece together the resources that made Eden, Eden, and start extending Eden. And there were two major ways he would do that. One by creativity, the other by reproduction. Take note, we are going to deal with this. We are discussing very deep kingdom issues now. Reproduction, creativity. All other dispensations did not know that there was a possibility of reproduction by a man meeting with a woman producing seed. It was always creation, not reproduction. It was our dispensation that introduced another dimension. The only way things were extended in dispensations before ours was creativity. So if you wanted something, it was purely a product of invention. But now, God revealed a dimension of himself. You see, marriage has nothing to do with a man and a woman. Marriage is a dimension in God. He only brought the woman out of a man so that there will be actors on earth. The primary purpose of marriage is not just children. The primary purpose of marriage is to reveal something about God. Then children come as an advantage. So when you lose the prophetic implication of marriage, the physical activities are just a waste. That's why Satan likes gay marriage. It's not about a man and a man, a woman and a woman. It's about corrupting a program. Are we together now? Yes. So when a man likes a man or a woman likes a woman, it's not just inordinate desires. That's not the issue. It's that men are actors on earth and Satan is rewriting another script to describe something bad about God, because he dwells in light, there is no darkness. So he brings a man and a woman. These are the only actors who can best describe that mystery called marriage. So Satan is switching scenes and bringing a man and a man and a woman and a woman. The realm of the spirit understand the message that is being sent. Are we together? Reproduction. I'll be teaching you different dimensions of dominion later on, and you find out that authority, exercising authority, is just one out of the many ways. Are we together? Yes, there are many facets. Authority, exercising authority, is one of them. By speaking, passing decrees. Number two, the ministry of prayer, especially intercession, is another system of dominion. Number three, reproduction. You are not manifesting dominion if there is no reproduction. Hallelujah. So the fall of man was a veering off of the original plan. For many of us, the foundation of our Christian journey just starts with the cross or the coming of Jesus. It looks very spiritual, but it's wrong. The foundation must start right from the beginning. Are we together? I taught you something in theology that we call the law of first use or the law of first mention. That means that when you want to examine the character of a word or the usage of a context, you have to search for where it was first mentioned Study the context of his usage, and that's what you use as a compass. Are we together now? So if you want to know the purpose of man, we must go back to the book of beginnings, Genesis. Are we together now? And then see what God said about that man. You don't search around for scriptures on prosperity and wealth and then find out where man just appeared in the scene. You must go down from the beginning. And God said, when man appeared, he never had any sound on earth. The first sound his ears will hear was the speaking of his creator. Be fruitful, multiply, etc., etc., and all of that. So it's important that we look at that and study it very importantly. The fall of man led to the necessity of redemption. Jesus himself coming. The entire program of redemption was a restoration program. Not a restoration to heaven. Not a restoration to heaven. Please listen carefully. Not a restoration to heaven. A restoration back to God's original agenda. Even heaven itself, as we know, is a subset of that agenda. Revelation tells us clearly. I told you the Bible finishes with the beginning of a new dispensation. Am I against heaven? No. Am I against the reality of the fact that saints will be caught up to the heavens? No, not at all. The Bible acknowledges that. But then it does not stop at us being in heaven. We are returning back again, right? To the earth. So it is important that we understand God's system. This series has three main areas we're dealing with. The second today, the first is what I call the original plan, helping you, giving you an exegesis of the beginning to understand that God's original idea was not just for us to have cars and houses, go to school, get married, have children, train them. The way an average believer, and well-meaning believer, the way an average believer is trained is not makes him or her not to be productive. Let me tell you something. It matters how you are trained, and it matters who trains you. Are we together? Let me repeat myself. It matters how you are trained, and it matters who trains you. The person who introduced Jesus to you did something to you very serious. It was more than a message. The person who has introduced the faith life and the spirit life to you may have communicated his or her limitations. It matters what you are told about Satan. It matters what you are told about demons. It matters what you are told about the Holy Spirit. Are we together? It matters what you are told about purpose and destiny. It matters. It's not enough to just have information. It is important to study the communicators of those informations, because this is where error and limitation came from. So we have sincere people who are well-meaning, but they have not paid the price to take advantage of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word to study comprehensively the program of God. Unfortunately, our Bible colleges, our schools of ministry do not do so much justice in opening people to God's blueprint. So the entire scope of the average believer's understanding of what we call our pilgrimage, the journey, is this. I am born, one day I receive an evangelical message, and then I'm told to give my soul to someone I cannot see, and then I hand over that soul to him, and then in return I hear that he gives me a life, whatever that is. I just know I have it. And then I'm also told that my name is in the book of life, meaning I've escaped hell. Hallelujah, glory to God. What else do I do? I'm encouraged to be a worker in church. Then I'm encouraged to get a wife or a husband that is like me. Then two of us are encouraged to make sure we have children. Are we together? Then we are encouraged to make sure we train those children as a sign of responsibility. Then we are told to just live our lives giving glory to God regardless of what happens. And then we are told to prepare for death. That is another writer's script that is not God. The word of God that liveth and abideth forever is very clear as to God's intention. So most believers are largely confused. You were in secondary school, and they told you, just keep moving. University, just finish up. You came from the world into the university. From university, they say, now that you are going into the world, and you know, all kinds of sympathy happens, and then you now enter into the world, and people say, get a job, and you get a job, and then get a wife or get a husband, have children, and then try to have cars, depending on your level of carnality. If you want to, if you are broke and nothing happens, just manage it. And all sorts of teachings that look like they are nice. Then one day you find out that you are sick. You don't know why you are sick, and then you go to a man of God who says you are healed, and you don't even know why you were healed. Why is God interested in healing men? Why is Satan interested in afflicting people? Then you find out that a dear lady gets married. Listen, I'm giving your work, your faith work, meaning. And then the lady is barren, and she goes to the doctor. Doctor, I've been a nice lady. I didn't live a wayward life. What is happening? And the doctor says, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I was trained to study. Just give me time. And the doctor is confused, cannot find out what is wrong. And the innocent lady lives in pain, and her whole ambition is, oh God, give me a child or give me children. Think how confused we are on earth. Everybody is trying to suggest to someone how they feel their lives can be better. So someone says, look, if you don't have money, your life will be bad. And then the other person says, so this is what, you know, I've been looking at. Okay, let me try to get the money. Then you become a millionaire and you are happy, and you find out that that realm has another trouble you cannot even explain. Are we together? And this is how we live. We receive advices from confused people who confuse others. We mentor our children. They grow in that confusion, and the earth is just a cycle of failure. It is important that among the curriculum that we are given, we must be able to give meaning to our lives. That's why people commit suicide. Why? Not just because they are frustrated. Their frustration only amplified the meaninglessness of living. That's why people do all kinds of stupid things with their lives. Abuse, the word abuse means abnormal use. You will misuse everything God gave you if you do not know why it was given. Are we together? Yes. When you carry 10 bottles of alcohol with the writings written boldly that it destroys you, you are not pouring it on the ground, you are transferring it into your body. It's called abuse. An abnormal use. Why? Because you do not know that that body was a loan. Like you collect a loan from a bank. If you collect a loan from a bank and you misuse it, you are already signing in for disaster. So we abuse our bodies. When God gives you a wife and you don't know why a wife came, they ask you, why are you married? You say, well, I just found out that age was not on my side, and they said I should find somebody. It so happens that this is the scapegoat who I now call, and you abuse that innocent woman. Are we together? Or vice versa, there are women who abuse men. You now find out that God gave you a calm person who says sorry for everything, and now he happens to be the victim of your emotional confusion, the confusion that surrounds your trying to define your life, and you vent it on your spouse. And where both of you are bold enough to confront one another, the children become the victims. It is still an extension of confusion. When people celebrate Golden Jubilee, they celebrate it angry, wondering what they've been doing for 50 years. Oftentimes, most of them are not healthy. They can't hear well. They can't see well. They made costly mistakes in their youthful days that they are paying the price now. They didn't have access to the mysteries of the kingdom. They've destroyed their lives. They are poor. They are broke. Their lives are meaningless. It's alarming, the rate of suicide right now. It used to be in the West, you know, the developed nations. And now, even in Africa, you get up, you don't find your child, you just see a letter. Farewell. And you see someone on a tree. Now, if we don't do something about this, let me tell you, right now, counseling is big business. Psychologists are getting a lot of business now, because there are all kinds of trauma centers, not just from plane crash. So a human being can be alive and just enter a trauma center and say, look, I need help. Why? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm seeing things. I'm hearing voices. My life is confused. We need to return back to God's blueprint. Otherwise, we are going to live absolutely useless lives. When you understand the dominion mandate, then marriage becomes useful. Children become useful. Prosperity becomes useful. Education becomes useful. Are we together? When you understand the dominion mandate, it will make sense to you every requirement the Bible gives. So we cut away from God's original agenda, and then we keep telling people, don't live a useless life, live a life of meaning. And the person saying, what is a life of meaning? Get a job. And the person goes, okay, he gets a job and fights all over his office till he retires. Aren't you seeing the way our lives are? It's a circle. Think very carefully. When you were 10 years, 12 years, gisting with your little friend or your little brother or sister about the confusion in life. Now look at you are getting to 40. You have joined that vicious circle of confusion, even as preachers. So many preachers do not know why God gave them a church. God just called me and said, raise me a people of power, a people of holiness, a people of grace, a people of prosperity. And we put that team on our churches, and members come and they don't exactly understand what we're saying. Someone gives a testimony. Oh, God gave me a breakthrough. We clap, but to what end? God made me a minister. God increased the dimension of his grace. Then pastors chase after anointing, and you ask them why, and they say, my church is not growing, my life, I can't live like this. No bread on my table. I need to access power. I need value. So they access the anointing like escapism from poverty. Then when they become a little anointed, they are now happy. Doors of ministry are opening, and then honorariums are coming and all of that. And then with that, that's how people live. I want you to refuse to live a meaningless life. Are we together? You must insist. Somebody now is about to get married tomorrow in this confusion. He's confused. He's holding the hands of another confused person, and then they are starting something they don't even know where it's going. Will they dance? Yes. Will they eat? Yes. Will they be happy eventually? No. No. This is not about demons. God's original agenda is the key to joy and happiness, not money, not education. Ask those who have these things. Rich people hang themselves and drop their money and will it to a cat. Why? Because I have 5 useless boys in my house. Give this cat my inheritance. Our world is gradually demonstrating that disobedience to God is costly. So we must return back. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. There are many of us today, our parents are angry with us. Why? Because they want you to follow the path they followed. And the word of God is already telling you that they like the way their lives are. And they do not believe that something they are doing is why their life is like that. They tell you, just follow. Don't embarrass us. Just let it be like that. Oh, I want to get married. To who? The brother, he's starting off. Don't do that. You see, if you do this, we are going to beg. Are you not seeing the way our lives are? And then people control people, and we are victims of men's thinking. There's a lot of gap. Let me tell you something. You need to re-examine the concept of age. This thing called age. The most excellent part of age is the wisdom attached to it. If age fails to come with wisdom, it is useless. Did you hear what I said? Yes. That a man, I have so much respect for elderly people. You are elderly here. I honor you with all my heart. But we need to redefine our philosophy of I am old and I am young. Because there are many old people that are responsible for the pain of people on earth. Age gives you access. It should give you wisdom. Only age does not just add wisdom on its own. At best, it can give you Sophia, human knowledge. The fact that you made a mistake does not mean you have found the answer. So you can tell us, in 1961 I made a mistake. Did you find the answer? You may still be in that ignorant at that point. You are just familiar with the problem, not the solution.
How many old people mentor young people? You're about to marry and, oh, no problem. I remember I married in 1941.
That ask that man's wife whether she enjoyed marriage. See her, an old woman. She would tell you, I only enjoyed marriage for 3 weeks in 40 years. That's the person mentoring two people. And he said, listen to me. No, I won't listen to you. No, sir. I will respect you, but I reject that kind of life. You will not define that template for me. Do you know why God is called the Ancient of Days? You know why? He is called the Ancient of Days because of one word, wisdom. Take away wisdom, because Satan too is an Ancient of Days. He's old. The Bible tells us Satan is old. What is the difference between him? At least they are old enough. I think any man that is older than 6,000 years is old. Satan is not 6,000 years old. Before 6,000 years, he was already called that old serpent. Yet he's as foolish and stupid as whatever. Because it is only a fool that says in his heart there is no God. And the Bible says even the demons, they try to ignore it. So they deceive men into believing there is no God. Get your life into your hands and trust God to use the word of God as a compass and redefine your life. Because there are many of you looking at me right now. We are doing what we call jack of all trades, master of none. This is how they taught me to live. Oh, this is how I will live. I have my little job with NMPC. Another person has a job with one paramilitary. And then we're on our way going. We don't know the purpose of children, so we abuse them. People give birth anyhow and make the children liabilities to men and society. You just come and somebody passes a child to you and say, take care of my child. As if the person was part of the arrival of the child. Why? Because the people doing that do not know the revelation behind Abba. Abba, Father. If before you source a thing, you must be ready to sustain it. This is what should govern getting pregnant. Not time. Do we have the resources, the wisdom, the grace, the capacity for a child? If a poor man gives birth to 7 children, he's a foolish man. Correct? Not just because he wants to demonstrate that he can give birth. He is Abba, source. You must sustain. So you leave those children and they become armed robbers. Remember, I told you Satan is looking for bodies. And because those bodies cannot be handed over to God, Satan will find available bodies. And they plague our society today. Kill people, rape women and children, maim people, destroy the peace of society. We have violated the dominion mandate. And this is why this teaching is very necessary. Are we together? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. The original plan was what I discussed. I spoke to us extensively about the fall of man. And I spoke to us about how that redemption was a remedy system. Now that you are born again, you must be able to have a redirection back to God's original agenda. And I said a few things to us. I said how that there are certain conditions that are required. Number one is your natural birth. For you to be able to stand and execute the dominion mandate, one is your natural birth. You must be born of a woman. Because when Jesus came, he came to redeem all those who were descendants of Adam. Listen, let me teach you something. Everybody look up. The blood of Jesus is only applicable for descendants from Adam. If you were not part of that dispensation, the work of grace and the cross is not relevant to you. Otherwise, Satan and demons should also be forgiven. Because a statement was made on the cross, it is finished. What is the it? Everything that had grieved the heart of the Father, the legal claims of justice had been appeased. The Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul, Isaiah saw, and he shall be satisfied. So if he says it is finished, that means the demons that neglected their original estates that are now in everlasting chains alongside Satan. I've told you, Satan is not the most wicked of the spirit. No, he's not. The belief that Satan is the most wicked of all the spirits, the king of all the spirits, is not necessarily error. It's just a limiting knowledge. Because Satan is not bound in everlasting chains. There are spirits more wicked than him that are bound in everlasting chains. The Bible says that they were bound even for the sake of the elect. Are we together? I pray that God will give us wisdom. You see how peaceful your life will be? This is what Satan does not want us to know. Man of God, listen. This is what Satan does not want your congregation to know. Because if you don't know this story, you won't see the necessity of your victory, and you will not know that you have been restored to now begin to walk in dominion. And demons will play games with your life. They will play games with your destiny. You will live your life under the mercy of situations and circumstances. So, your natural birth, then your spiritual birth, or what I call a rebirth. The Bible calls it a regening, regeneration, regene. Every possessor of Adam's genes, born of a woman, is born in iniquity. Are we together? Now, born in iniquity means that legally you are under the influence of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, as long as well as the elements in this system. And you cannot carry out the dominion mandate with the genes of Adam. So there is a regening, a regeneration. Are we together now? When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, a real miracle happens there. The Bible tells us there is a translation. The Bible says he that is joined to Christ is what? Help me. One spirit. One spirit. Not two spirits. One spirit. So Christ comes to live in you. He creates his throne in your heart. Tabernacles in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. The moment that happens, you are now ready not to dominate. You are not ready to dominate. You are ready to now begin the process that restores you back to God's original agenda, the dominion mandate. Now, this is where many believers miss it. And pastors, if you do not understand the difference between prophecy and experience, you will mislead people. The speakings of the Bible are twofold: the prophetic communications of God. Are we together now? And the experience of that communication. When God speaks from his perspective, it is done. Because God has no past, no present, no future. He's called Alpha Omega. Time is not something that God is limited by. He's not even limited by eternity. Eternity is still a subset of him. If he dwells in eternity, then somebody created it. Correct? Are you getting blessed tonight? And so you must understand that this God that we are talking about is not limited. You must understand his systems and how he works. When God speaks, he can say, Sam, when you enter that house, and by the time your fifth child comes, you see that? And Sam can say, I'm not even married. That's the speaking of God. God will never say, when you marry, He talks to men as if he's talking to himself. This is why many people do not know. God can look at you and say, promise, take care of these 30 children. Whereas he doesn't have a job. That's God. Because in his word is also the grace to convert that prophecy to experience. So he will not speak to you like he's speaking to a man. Let me tell you one way to know
that a word came from God is that there will be no resources at that point to make it come to pass, whether spiritually, financially, etc. If God speaks to you and you have the resource to do it, you had your brain or a demon. Noah, build me an ark, two stadium of, the ark of Noah was stadiums too, like that, are made of gopher wood. How many years plantation agriculturist will give you that? Noah spent 120 years building that. How many years? 120 years. But the way God spoke it, it was as if rain will come next week. This is a mistake many people make. God can say, I have sent you today. This is how God speaks, because your whole lifetime is still his today. So God says, today I have anointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then you get up with lack of understanding the systems of God and now ordain yourself and try to get visa to Ghana or smuggle your way to UK, and you die somewhere in the forest. And is it a lie? No, God spoke to you, but you did not understand the difference between prophecy and experience. It was Paul who was teaching the church in Hebrew and began to teach them in chapter 2 and told them, he says, now God did not leave anything under the feet of man. Are we together now? He was trying to quote the Psalm of David, right? What is man that thou art mindful of? And then he says, but now, that's experience. In God's eye and in God's mind, nobody should be sick. In God's eye and in God's mind, there should not be one sinner on earth, because right from the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain. Go to the prison. Is there a thief there? Please answer me. Is there a thief that went into the prison today? Yes. So does that mean that the efficacy of the word is not working? No, it is. He already said it is finished, and there are still criminals. It is finished. There are still barren people. God will look at someone on a wheelchair and still say it is finished, yet he's still there. The day that the anointing and the faith of that person comes, he enters into the experience of that word. That's why God is resting. But he says, there remaineth a rest, not for God, for his people. What is that rest? The experience of his finished work. So we keep moving around with ignorance and making a fool out of ourselves, and demons are happy and hope we continue like that. And then at the end of it, the equation does not add up. And then we are frustrated and humiliated. Is God helping us tonight? Tonight we are going to look at the second aspect, and that is discipleship. The dominion mandate has three segments. Number one is a revelation of the original plan, the fall of man, and the restoration through Jesus. That's the first. The second is discipleship. What is discipleship? A system of training for reigning. A system of reprogramming. A system of recalibration into the image and the likeness. And then next week we are going to look at the third segment, governance. So these three segments. Number one, the original plan. The fall of man and the restoration process that we call redemption. The second is discipleship. Discipleship is not some doctrinal curriculum of people. No, it is the way people are trained to carry out the dominion mandate. Listen, nobody reigns just because you have received Jesus. Remember the scripture that I gave you last week, right? That they that received two things. Number one, the gift of righteousness. Number two, the abundance of grace. So two requirements to reign. One, you must receive what? The gift of righteousness. No man can walk. It is God's very nature imputed through faith. When you believed in the finished work of his son, his death, the burial, the resurrection, and the glorification. Not just the resurrection. Jesus did not just ascend and is hanging in the sky. He is seated.
It matters because Ephesians starts with the revelation of his seated position. So it's not just the death. I know great men like Kenyon and all of that talk about the death, burial, resurrection, but it's more than that. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the glorification. That coronation was what David saw. The Lord said to my Lord, the Lord, the Ancient of Days, said to my Lord, the Christ, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Discipleship. Why discipleship? Let me tell you something. Because you see, when you receive Jesus Christ, everybody listen carefully. When you receive Jesus Christ, automatically it gives you access. The life of God is in you. Give us Genesis chapter 1, please, verse 26. God created man. There was a twofold design, and this design, this configuration must be gotten back for man to be able to walk in dominion. Number one is what? His image. The first purpose of discipleship is to carve in you the experience of the image of the Christ. The spiritual dimension, the spiritual composition. Are we together now? Paul said this. He says, my little children in whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. The formation of Christ in reality, the indwelling of the word, is a reflection of his image. Because the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible says, Christ, who is the word, is the express image of the Godhead. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Are we together now? Philip said, show us the Father, and then it's sufficient. He said, Philip, have you been so long with me, Philip, and yet you have not seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So Christ came as the image. So man must first be made in Christ. Now listen, let us make process. Let us make process. The moment that life of God comes, the making is not automatic. The life is there. The Spirit of God is at work in you. If it were automatic, then you do not need the word and you do not need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The formation of Christ. Now please, everybody listen. This is one of the indices for spiritual growth. The moment believers get born again, if you have ever wondered what next, let me tell you, what next is the spiritual development of those people, so that the life, the character, and the traits of Christ will be fashioned in them. Are we together now? The image. So, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, together, that fivefold ministry, they work harmoniously to help people achieve this. Are we together? The image of Christ being formed in you. That's what you call character. That's what you call the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the recreated human spirit. When you read Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, Paul was teaching the Galatian church and he said, this I say then, please give it to us. Galatians 5 and verse 16. We'll read 16, then we'll go down to 22. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the key is what? Walking in the Spirit. You must be trained to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says to set your minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. It takes a training. The name of that training is discipleship. Discipleship is not just an indoctrination into a church's curriculum and beliefs. Are we together? Because many of us hate the word, and I understand, because it has been used religiously by people who are not even born again. Discipleship is how people are made to reign. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, there are all kinds of theological understandings, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, listen, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. Meaning that it is impossible to be a violator with these conditions. This is the atmosphere of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit combined creates an atmosphere. that becomes formidable. No power and force of hell can penetrate that. All these things you call the fruit of the spirit are, and they are ingredients that structure something. The Bible says that we are built into a spiritual house like living stones, one block upon the other. You are adding love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Let me tell you, every attack on a believer's life comes when there is a lapse in one of these. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, are we learning? Am I blessing you? Every attack on your life will come based on an advantage that was taken as a result of the absence or the deficiency of this. From where cometh, how does the Bible put it? Quarreling and all this among you. You see that? When there is no love, there will be jealousy. When there is no love, there will be bitterness. When there is no joy, the Bible says, for with joy shall you draw out of the wells of salvation. Is that true? It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When your spirit is weak, there is no joy. Joy is not laughter. Joy can only be given by the Spirit. Unbelievers have happiness. Only believers can have joy. It's of the Holy Ghost. Joy has nothing to do with circumstances. It is a state of being that is based on a revelation and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you go through die. How can you rejoice? Knowing this, this is the secret of the joy. Knowing this, without knowing it, you cannot have joy. So when you are going through diverse situations, you lost a loved one, you lost a job, something is not working well. Ordinarily, you should be sad, but knowing this, there is a revelation that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and then that let patience have her full course, then it will make you matured, it will make you unfruitful. Knowing this. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? We must build the fruit of the spirit in people. You can be educated as anything, and lack gentleness, goodness, meekness, and never be promoted. Correct? You went to school, but you are not gentle at all. The company throws you away because you lack the fruit of the spirit. Do you know all the commandments of Nigeria are a human attempt to get men to have the fruit of the spirit? So when they tell you pay a bill of 100,000 naira and all of this, is their own way of trying to force you to feel the pain of stealing somebody's thing. It is their way of trying to give you love. When they jail you because of impatience, they are trying to get you to be what? To have long suffering, because you are not patient. That's why you wanted 1 million in one day and you jumped somebody's fence or you stopped a luxurious bus. Let me tell you, the chaos in our society is because there is the absence of the image, the charagma, the image of Christ. Every law, when you whip your child, it is because he violated something that is here. When a husband beats a wife, something is missing. Peace. Sister, when a brother comes to say, I want to marry you. Do you know why you don't say yes immediately? You go back and start cross-checking. You don't even know this is what you are cross-checking. Does this guy love me? It's not just love God alone. Does he have joy? This brother is an angry brother. Peace. I watch what he did to somebody one day. Long suffering. This guy looks like a hustler. He puts his hand in everything. Is he gentle? No. The way he approached me was bad. Is he good? No. He's greedy. Does he have faith? He come, you know, and all of that. And when you calculate all those things, the other side of the equation creates your response. And you go back and say no. Now, you may not know that this is what you were checking. When someone is advising you, he's helping you. Society can never go into decadence when the image of Christ is enforced. The image of Christ is the unifier. Whether you are from Kogi State, Plateau State, listen to me, whether you are Yoruba or Igbo, all those disparity in culture that is as a result of bad habits can be neutralized if the image of Christ is formed in believers. So when you see someone who is Hausa and someone who is Igbo, or someone who is Yoruba, or someone who is from the south, four of them, you will not see any noticeable differences. Why? Because they have allowed the genes of Adam, that was a part of the curse that came through their earth, and programmed something. Oh, the men from this place are stupid, the men from this place are irresponsible. When you allow the character, are we learning the dominion mandate? It says man was made in the image. It was not possible for Adam to hate. It was not possible for him to be impatient. How did man fall? Because there was a pastor that said something. Satan became that preacher. That's why when God came, he said, who told you? Not who showed you. A voice reprogrammed you. So how will men return back to this? A voice will reprogram men. The Spirit of God is in his words. As you are hearing this, something is happening to you. You are now seeing that this is not the issue of marry from here or from here. This is not the issue of I am from Bielsa, I am from south, in our place, this is how we do it. All those our place, when you talk like that, let me show you whose descendant you are. On earth, there are two families. One, those who are connected to Adam, and everything Adam came with. Two, those who have been regened into another family. So you cannot look at me and say you come from so place. Your people are drunkards. I don't know who they are. I've been called out of every tribe. Genesis, please give us Revelations 5 verse 9. I want you to read it. God has to deliver us. Verse 9. Revelations 5, media. 5 verse 9, Revelations. Let's read it. Verse 9. Thank you. Okay, read it. 1, 2, go. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed me unto God. How? By your blood out of Kogi, Plateau State, Imo, Enugu, out of the irresponsibility that comes with the men in that place, out of the pride, out of the selfishness, out of the hatred, the bitterness, he has redeemed. I've been called. I sympathize with my people, but I'm not part of that tragedy. I am another tribe. I've been carved out. Listen, if you don't believe this thing, you are not a Christian. It's not just that it's bad, you are not a Christian at all. What else do you believe? We have been called. That's why in Koinonia here, you don't see anybody do anything. Which tribe? I don't even want to know where you are coming from. I know that there are two families, the ones on earth and the ones in heaven. We are all related. The blood, the veil, torn, a family. Know we no man after the flesh. Oh, your father is this. I'm not saying don't be sympathetic to people in your area or whatever. Jesus started preaching from the Jews, but some of this carnality, this tribalism, and this garbages we bring. There is a thief in every tribe. There is a fool in every tribe. There is a devil in every tribe. Every tribe has witches and wizards. There are poor people in every tribe. So it's just that we make it look, just because you saw more northerners looking stupid, you come up with a theology that there are all more Igbo people and say every Igbo person is just money monger. It's a lie. There are people who have exempted themselves, called out. Not everybody is a money monger. Not every lady is a materialistic person just looking for a millionaire. It's a lie. Not every brother is an irresponsible person not knowing where he will go. Some people have seen the end. They have seen. You know what I'm doing to you? It's a reprogramming. This is discipleship. I am unifying you now. It is on the strength of this you can call somebody brother and sister. That issue of brother and sister for many people is carnal. It's just carnal because you were told to say it. Brother Alpha, Brother Femi, and the rest. But when men like Kenneth E. Hagin, R.W. Schambach, when they used those names, it was out of this revelation. I do not know you in the flesh, but if you are in Christ, we are brothers. You are welcome. They extend the right hand of fellowship. Everybody say the image. We need the restoration of that image. There are many people who are not spiritual. Live likeness, we're coming there. We must teach you how to be like Christ. Be like Christ. Be like Christ. That's the image. The image talks of being. The likeness talks of doing. The image talks of being. Being. Who you are, not what you do. Let's go back to Genesis. Please give us verse 28. We'll discuss more 28 next week. 1 verse 28, Genesis. Now, everybody, I want you to observe something. And God blessed them and said, listen carefully, be fruitful. He never talked of having anything. You be it first. Then later on, he now said, have dominion. So God's focus when he's beginning to work with man is in being first before having. We have reversed it. Somebody gets born again today and we say, you must have a car, you must have a house, which is he's having something he has not become. He's trying to have the likeness, no image. So 1 million naira comes, he has, but he has not become. So it will destroy him. Are you saying that now? Yes. Have a wife, but he has not become a husband. So it destroys him. The primary strategy and pattern, God's kingdom pattern for discipling people and nation, is to focus on their being before their having. Listen, those who write programs for foundational classes in churches must subscribe to this. Otherwise, you are going to produce a powerless, carnal, many times devilish believers. That's why there are witches and wizards in church. Because we are passionate about having. So if I am born again and in 2 weeks I come with a flashy shoe, flashy clothes, I'm showing you how much I... Help me, preach back to me. I'm showing you how much I... On the strength of that, you will say I have faith. And the brother who has just one trouser, but the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is working in him, we look at him and we say, no, this one you don't have. So because you don't have, the word is not working. Our focus is on having. Spiritual men rank and rate people first by being. So I can look at you and all you have is one trouser, one Bible, but I see Christ formed in you. You are on your way fulfilling the dominion mandate. I know that this guy will soon be a principality. Listen, believers, let me preach to you. Stop focusing on having. Focus on being first. The image comes before the likeness. It's God speaking to us. This is a message to someone already, because our society is full of falsehood. Men and women who are obsessed in having. Having. Why? Because we want to prove. We live in a carnal world that only interprets and rates you based on what they can relate with. None of these fruits of the Spirit is something that is tangible in itself. Their manifestation can be tangible as you relate, with people and environment, but you cannot know. So I look at this brother, and what he has is peace, what he has is joy, and I think those things are cheaper than money. So the brother would rather kill the agenda to being and then focus on having. When God begins to deal with a man, you find out that the curriculum he gives you has nothing to do with things like teaching of prosperity. It's going to be prayer first. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Are we together? And then you begin to teach. He's drumming on you issues of character, holiness, morality. You have to greet people. You move around and think, I am from this. I am a yo-yo guy. And he says, look, drop all that thing. Oh, I am the... Nobody talks to me. I was a capon in this. And God says, that's your business. And when you want to mess up, he tells you, listen, Nebuchadnezzar was not, but he had. He had money, he had power, so he could run his mouth and talk nonsense. And then he was made to become a beast for how many years? 7 years. A beast with the brain of a man. The moment Nebuchadnezzar recovered, he became a preacher. Read your Bible. Never empower people who have not become. It's dangerous. It's a lesson many of us will have to learn. That you are a millionaire does not mean you carry a small child who has not become and give him money. That's why I like Igbo people. When they are doing business, they bring in an apprentice. No matter how rich that man is, there is a limit to the exposure of that child. Is that true? He now begins to do business and they study him. One day they will leave money in the drawer, 500,000, and throw some small things scattered. And then the man will go out. He will come back and find out that 1,000 was missing, and he will keep quiet. That boy has not become. The day he ever says, "Settle me," the man will say, "I will slap you." If you ever talk of settling, you have not become. You want to have. You have not learned integrity. You have not learned character. You have not learned submission. No. Is God teaching us? Being. Have you become an expression? Many of us today, I can show you that the reality of God's image has not been formed in you, because that anger is still there. You've been born again for 5 years. You pray in tongues more than everybody, but let somebody just say something small. Your name is Sam, and somebody just said, "John, sorry, what's the name?" You don't know my name? Look, I know who I am. If you do this, is you think it's a sign that you are spiritual? No. I can look at your life and rank you spiritually in a moment. I don't have to see a vision. Away with your cars. Away with all the money and the checks and all the prestige and the English and etc. All those things connote having. I look at your life. When I look at your life, I'm searching for the Christ. The word of God already painted a picture. And then he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Then the Bible says he had something and was something, but he gave them up and became, not possessed. The possession happened when he became. Therefore, God had so highly exalted him and given. Notice that people first became before they had. The secular system reverses it. Packaging and falsehood is trying to portray something you are not. So I borrow a shoe, I borrow a suit, I borrow watch. Are we together? I borrow makeup, I borrow hair, I borrow anything. What am I trying to do? It's not that I'm trying to show you I'm not cheap. Bottom line. Correct? Whether I'm cheap or not is my own issue. But I want you to know I am so conscious of what your perception about me that I don't mind faking everything around it. But someone can sit down with Gary and say, "No problem, I'm not ashamed. This is where I am now. I will take it with honor and dignity. If I look cheap to you like that, no problem. I agree with the process, but I am becoming." Next time somebody looks at you and tries to make you feel like you are a useless person, you cannot do this and that, no problem. You are becoming. You are becoming. Line upon line. This is what is happening to you in Koinonia. Many of you do not know what is happening to you. God has already given you a vision. You will be a great prophet, a great apostle. But you are saying, "Oh God, nobody has seen me." God says, "Sit down. You are becoming." You want to have access to the mic. You want to have access to a church. Your body is itching you to have access to lead a program. And God says, "Sit down. You first become before you have." Is God speaking to us? Discipleship. Leaders, learn to discern people who have become before you give them access. Don't give people access as a general thing. If there are four people, three people, you now say, "Oh, you have given you too much access. Let me share it with this." No. In the kingdom, distribution is as a result of a careful study. I have discerned. You can fake all those things and act like it, but the truth is that if you are not, it will show. He said, by their fruits, not by their gifts. By their, how do you know them? By their, a gift is dash, a fruit is a sign of maturity. So someone insults you and says, Emeka, do you know that when you were entering the university, I already had PhD, and that thing stings you. And you're like, I'm a doctor, don't talk. And the old man, Adam wants to resurrect with his foolishness, and all of a sudden that regening has been crystallized, and you laugh and say, God bless you. And he says, is it the Emeka that I know that used to beat everybody I heard of? A regening. Let me tell you, if you claim you are born again and there is no evidence of transformation, you need help, you need counseling, you need a retreat. Praise the Lord. There are so many, there are angry pastors, there are wicked pastors, there are angry people, there are all kinds of arrogant people. My name is so. Do you know the one? We are looking at you and we are still seeing your culture. If I still look at you and see your village, then you are trying to say that calling out of tribe and nation has gone. It's not yet real. Discipleship, training for reigning, bringing you into the culture of the kingdom, their way of life. This is how we live in the kingdom. We live through the law of love. We live through the law of joy. We are peaceful people in the kingdom. My temper will kill somebody. Oh, somebody hold me. You are acting, the moment you are acting like your village, the old man is attempting to resurrect. You must keep it dead. We do these things, and usually there are also other carnal people like us who hail us. You know, that hailing thing can be so demonic if we are not careful. Remember, they hailed Jesus and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." A few weeks later on, the same people said, "Crucify him." You say, "Yes, you are looking at me, crucify him. Let his blood be on our head." We have to be careful. There is one who deserves to be lifted and hailed forever. Our job is to conform into that image. Here we stand, David Dam song, and lift our hands, and we will hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. Here we stand and lift our voices. Together we hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. We will hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. We will hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. Hail Yahweh. We will hail Yahweh. Pastor, your first assignment to believers is to make them spiritual. The first assignment of a man of God to believers is to extract carnality. Carnality means a way of living. They must be aware of the divine life, the divine nature, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You turn people to become spiritual. The life of God is in me. I'm not ordinary. I was born by an ordinary man, an ordinary woman from social state, but now I am a possessor of God's life. Literally, not just some Christian gimmicks. No, I believe it. It's a fact. It's true. How many believers are aware of that divine nature in them? It tells the way we respond. The Bible says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from above, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. I come from above, born of God. Whatsoever is born of God, overcome it. Challenges are not unusual. Defeat is what is unusual. Whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. But as many as believed him, even to them that believed upon his name, gave them power to become. power to become, power to become, power to become. They looked at Paul. Paul, who used to kill people, Saul, that would collect a letter and go and slaughter people. What happened? Spirituality. Listen, this is not an issue of being charismatic. If you don't train your people to be supernatural, to approach life and approach things with the consciousness of the divine life, the consciousness of divinity. There are great men of God all around the world who have spent their lives and spent the years of their lives bringing the church into a consciousness, reprogramming and recalibrating our mind that the believer in partnership with the Holy Spirit is invincible. We must restore these teachings. There are many carnal believers on earth. In a bit to balance, in a bit to teach, we have made people carnal, helpless. No matter what happens, they say, oh, well, things just happen like this. You are in every way divine. That's why we don't walk in signs and wonders. How do you stand and stretch your hands to somebody and expect a transference? How do you do that? How do you stand and speak? There is no wire tied to you to someone outside. Because carnally speaking, I can only see with my optical eyes. But when you step back and walk in the realm of the spirit, then you know that the vistas of the spirit are not 20/20, infinity, infinity, left only to your faith. So I can stand here and see someone in overflow 3 and speak and expect the power of God to touch that person. Why? I wasn't born this way. It's called spirituality. There's too much carnality. That's why when you tell people God will bless you, they still want you to, they want to reduce themselves. And many pastors, this is the limitation of exaggeration on education. When you think that because I'm educated, I have a master's in this, I have a PhD in that. Now, there are very educated people in this place. But when people trust their education, and then you see them castigate spiritual things, anything that does not subscribe to the law of dy dx, they fight it. Are we together? You anoint somebody, say, what is this with this oil? They write all kinds of articles. Tithing is a scam by men of God to raise money. You see them. And then at the end of that ungodly blog, they now say, my name is Pastor so-so and so. I'm a pastor with Living Christ Parish or whatever it is. And that is deceptive because somebody will say, this is a pastor. And you know, carnal people will relate to those things immediately because they are carnally minded. Are we together? Anything that massages the flesh, they like it. Once you challenge people, why should you come and spend the night praying? What is all this blah, 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 blah thing? 10 hours, 5 hours, 3 hours. Please, we are not human beings. God gave us a brain. And they say that to castigate spirituality. The Bible says, through faith, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand. Please give it to us. Through faith, we understand that the world systems were framed by what? Please help me. They were not framed by cement and water. They were framed by an invisible substance called the Word of God. So that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. That's why God tells somebody that by this time next year you will be a landlord. And spirit wants to receive, but the carnality in his mind will fight it. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And he says, have you forgotten the power of the highest? This is the mystery that makes things happen. I want to show you why we don't get results. God has declared that this is a year of triumph, but only spiritual people can receive. A carnal man receives not the things of the spirit, neither can he understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Let me tell you how to know you are not growing. By how much you rely so much on your senses and how embarrassed you are to be spiritual about life. Because there are people who are embarrassed to be spiritual. Not just that they don't like it, it's a thing of shame. It's a thing of shame. Oh, you are playing and just playing a worship song. and it's entering your spirit. I beg, we are human beings, a worship song entering my spirit. What is there? You are listening to all kinds of music, you don't know the difference. Are you seeing now? Many people in church, you have a selection. There's gospel music, there's another one by a secular artist that you want. I don't have a problem with secular artists. I only have this a problem with the spirits behind them. I love them as people, but there's a spirit behind them. Music is not all about melodies. Music is about sounds and the access that those sounds give spirits into your life. So someone tells you, look, I went to school. He said, much learning make thee mad. I went to school. Please allow me to play this song. So you just play Women of Faith for a while, just to ease the guilt of feeling carnal. Then somewhere in the selection, something just comes. Babylon, then to witchcraft, and you are lying down. Your body is sleeping. Your spirit does not sleep. And something is happening to you. How many of you have listened to a message and fell asleep and it continued playing? And you followed it. How many of you were sleeping and you were acting what that message was saying? It now becomes graphic. Not just that you are hearing. Suddenly you find yourself in scenarios, doing certain things, making confessions. These are spiritual things. The ancient knew this. We who are modern people have become so bankrupt of spirituality. Pastors, let your people be spiritual. Don't pity them because they prayed 5 minutes and they are feeling tired. And you say, no, you know, our church, there are balloons everywhere. Let's not make people feel. You are praying and somebody falls down, and the way his head hits the chair, even you say, "Kai, hallelujah, amen, let's stop." Why? Do you stop a baby when he's walking and he tries to fall? You allow them. Ah, yes, you say sorry, but you don't stop the work. We must be spiritually minded. That's why the gifts of the spirit cannot flow in us. We're not spiritual. That's why you cannot believe that God can open you up. That's why when you hear testimonies, the testimonies come to a carnal mind and you start looking at the people scientifically. I hope they are lying. Hepatitis, cancer, this lady that I know, Abad Allah. It's just that koinonia, everybody will just keep quiet, but me, we know. At that, were you blind? Blind when? Because of how people are carnally minded. There are people who don't believe anything. Even if they see somebody fall down, they will still say somebody pushed him somewhere. Haba! Believers. You know, sometimes when people argue, I say, prophecy. You hear them say they gave somebody the names of people. Maybe there are people doing it. But is it easy to keep names? Try it. Is it easy to act like that? Carnality. Because we are not spiritually minded. If by next week God opens a door for David Dam, we can look and people will now say, this guy, he touched something. We always credit unusual happenings to the realm of the spirit. That is a clue that to remain unusual, you must remain in the spirit. You are like mere men. There is nothing worth celebrating. The dominion mandate is a restoration into a life of spirituality. That the spirit realm governs the physical realm. Yes, it does. The spirit realm. You must build yourself the divine nature of God, the character of God. The second dimension, let's look at it quickly, is the likeness. Please give it to us again, Genesis 1:26. Likeness talks of the functionality, how God functions. The image of God talks about who God is, his being. But his likeness talks of how he walks. Believers, there are some of you who God saved many people through your hands, but you don't know how to build them because you have not been taught. The first thing is to help them become spiritual. That's why when people get born again here, we introduce them to the prayer department, not just to be workers in the house,
Why? Because praying, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are praying. You begin to teach them the value of the Word of God. You begin to teach them the value of communion. You begin to teach them the value of corporate fellowship. These are foundations. Then, when they are strong, then you begin to teach them how to walk like God. You start teaching them speech. Everybody say speech. The first teaching on how to function like God is how to speak like Him. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on Then you begin to learn that He has made us unto our God. Listen, kings and priests. Your priesthood talks of your ministry to God, your ministry spiritually. That kingly dimension talks of governance and legislature. As a priest, the jurisdiction is the secret place, the place of incense. The place of ministry where you send that incense, it will rise to heaven. The prayers of the saints, the intercession, fellowship, communion, koinonia, that's priesthood. Then you take away that priestly regalia and you put on your crown and your signet ring and you hold your scepter and step out. That is legislature. That is governance. Everyone must manifest this king-priest dimension. You are a priest. When you come to the house of God, you are ministering to God, you are offering up worship and intercession for the saints, you are advocating for the destinies of men, you are communing with God Almighty. That's priesthood. Then you take on that regalia of kingship, and then you legislate. And the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is, please help me, where the word of a common man is, there is sound. But where the word of a king is, so I have been made a king and a priest, not unto my village, unto God. And so I can legislate. Listen, the first thing that must begin to change in your life to prove that you are functioning like God is your speech. Your speech. Ah, we are the weak ones. We are the ones who are this and that. You know, the Bible says, do not say before an angel, I made a mistake. Your speech, it matters. Are we together? Your words begin to be cultured by the word of God. You don't speak all kinds of things and invoke woes upon yourself. Your communications become spiritual. Bless you. Good morning, sir. Oh, Aluta continua, Victoria Escata, you are prophesying. Others are speaking, they are not kings. But you have become a believer, you have been redeemed, yet you are still speaking. You have come out of Egypt, Egypt is still in you. And now, when you speak, you are sending sounds to the realm of the spirit. And you are programming things. They speak and it doesn't happen. You speak and it happens. The suffering continues. You massage hardship. Pressure puts you and pushes you, and everything that comes out is your hey, why, and you all this kind of very, very unbelieving talk. Hallelujah. You hear a bad report in the name of Jesus Christ. 1,000 may fall by my right. That's a king speaking. 10,000 by my right side. None shall harm me. Only with my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. I will make sure you don't marry. And she tells you to your face, and you smile. A cause causeless shall not stand. There is a mystery that no, you see, all this threat. The woman said this. A cause causeless shall not stand. Are we together? Yes. Will you ever finish this house? The hand of Zerubbabel that started this work. It's not something you just reminisce in your mind. It must be vocalized. It must be vocalized. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath.
the Gentiles come to my light. Lord, favor surrounds me like a shield. This is a believer talking. Let me tell you what ordinary people would do. The people in our villages know this. You see what they do during festivals. The major activity in festival is talking and dancing. Then death follows later on in the evening. People start dying because people are talking, chanting things. You are moving around. Shakata balakata. You just sense a presence that is not of God. Don't sit and say, I'm not sure. Be sure by praying in tongues. Start tongues first. Let praying in tongues precede you while you are verifying. So that should in case you can be praying and hear a shout from another room and say, oh, I see. There are human beings that carry spirits. They are innocent. They are on the way. They are on their way coming to your house to introduce spirits, not unwillingly, but all of a sudden you sense an urge and you begin to pray. Kados katia, and they call you and say, "Sorry, I just feel like not coming." And you know that not only have they revealed something to you, they themselves need to be helped. You can easily know the spirits that control men by their reaction when you pray, because the spirit influences them to act in certain ways. That's why many of you, when you finish praying in your house, that's the day everybody quarrels you. I teach you the mystery now. The moment you pray, agitations from everyone. You go, you enter your room and the kindest person in your room is attacking you. The devil is sending a response. If you know, you attack him back with joy. 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 When you turn to Canaan, don't shout at me. Yes, I'm coming back from Koinonia. Say, you claim you are coming back from the church. And look at how you match this. I'm sorry. It's okay. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh,
Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
Break forth, thou fountains of the deep, and weep, Kadosh.
Mighty on your throne.
So you learn how to speak by faith. Mark 11:22-23. If thou shalt say, give it to us. Jesus is teaching the disciples how kings speak. He's teaching them the language of royalty. Listen, this thing is not just some, you know, many believers, after walking for a while, we claim that those who do these things are baby Christians. It's a joke, a principle that Jesus himself introduced. Nothing in your life will ever change until you sustain capacity to command it to. He told Job, hast thou commanded thy morning? If you don't command it, something else will impregnate your morning. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The correct rendition there is have the faith of God. Operate like him. For verily I say unto you, now, whoever shall say to what? Say to what? So it is okay to speak to things. Kadakota satire. Mambratos kotatiara. Not just to human beings. Jesus, our high priest, spoke to a mountain, spoke to a tree. Who told you they don't hear? Biology did not teach you that they hear. But Jesus, the spiritual, teaches you that they can hear. Who told you the earth does not hear? Who told you that when you stand and speak over your family, miles and kilometers apart, they don't hear? So you can stand and begin to legislate. They call you at home and they say, in the last 3 days, everybody has been sick. You say, okay, I know what to do. And sometimes it's not just becoming a priest. You jam the door, put your crown, carry your regalia. Zekatos kaprantikatia. I send the wind on errand. Carry the anointing from here to that location. You must believe this thing I'm teaching you. I'm programming you to be spiritual and how to function like God. If thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed. That means when you speak to things, you must be specific. Specific. Give us this day. What do you want? I want to do well. That's a vague and careless prayer. You must call it by name. Whatsoever Adam called, that was the name thereof. So you name your destiny peace. You name your marriage joy. Are we together? You don't turn and say, this stupid husband, no way. My marriage is heaven on earth. I call it what it is.
I refuse to be poor. I reject it. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't help me fulfill my assignment. I decree and declare, favor surrounds me. If there is a garrison of favor, men are coming to bless me today. This is a king speaking. You are impregnating your morning. While others are sleeping, you are speaking. Shagato kaskariada.
Favor comes in the name of Jesus. No accidents, no nothing. I am immune to activities of witches. I am above. I come from above.
While you are speaking, somebody is sleeping and laughing at you. By evening, they tell you the person is in the hospital. When he comes back home, he will never laugh at you again when you are speaking. That laughter is mockery. Mockery is initiated by a spirit. When Jesus wanted to raise the dead and he said the dead was sleeping, people who were crying turned and started laughing. They mocked him and said, get out of the house. Go out. Get out of the house. I want to raise the dead. And when he was alone, he said, little girl, Talita Kumi, I say unto you, arise.
Are we together?
Yeah.
When Abraham had a conversation and he heard that God was speaking about a child, Sarah had it and laughed. That laugh was sarcasm. One of the proofs that somebody has a wicked spirit living in him is how sarcastic he is when believers make faith proclamations over their destiny. You see someone while he's jumping, his shoe has already caught, and you laugh. You see that kind of laughter? It's a spirit. It's not just an act. It's not just a negative disposition. That's why when we say pray and speak, and other people stand and they're wondering, you mean this is how these people speak? That's what brought us here. We acted like him. Shabranda Kaskia. In the name of Jesus, people are blessed tonight. The miracle service is a blessing. Koinonia is a blessing. Everything flourishes in this ministry because a word waters it. Words are powerful. God rules the earth by the word of his power. So you learn the speech of the kingdom. You learn how to manifest faith. But one of the things that you also learn are the systems of the kingdom. I'm teaching you how to be like God. Let me teach you a deep mystery. Our time is gone. I'll teach you this and then we'll just pray. We'll continue next week. Have you been blessed? God never does anything in the Bible as a process twice. Read your Bible. God's system is to initiate things once and build a system around them for continuity. Believers, hear me. I want to teach you how to function like God. That's why many businesses fail. That's why many people cannot carry out the dominion mandate. We'll discuss it next week when we talk of governance. He says, be fruitful. Then he says, what? Multiply, replenish, subdue. You can't do those things if you do not understand God's system. So God initiates a process as a template, then designs a system around it. Watch this. God created man, as our dispensation knows, once and never had to create man again. Are we together? He created man with the woman in him, and then he brought the woman out and designed a system in them and says, continue. The result of that reproduction, 7.2 billion people on the earth. In spite of an average of 8 people that die per second, the earth is still growing because a man built a system. Systems are powerful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Systems are what? Powerful. When you do business by repeating the same thing, you are not acting like God. You create a product. This is what many people have done. Google and all of that. They don't know about you yet. You carry their laptop because there is a system. They made it once. That's why Coca-Cola and the rest, they have different branches around the world. What did they program in those branches? Systems. Everybody say systems. The greatest conglomerates in the world today operate through systems. The same thing happening everywhere. The Catholics, Roman Catholics, I love them among other reasons because of the power and the dexterity of their systems. Systems maintain consistency. It is how God functions. God has not needed, even when man fell, when he was about to wipe the people in Noah's days, he still preserved the seed. And out of those eight families, new beginning, he started another race. Systems. Jesus came as the firstborn of the begotten. He died, and nobody has had to die for his sins again. A system of salvation. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Are we blessed? Yes. Africans do not understand the systems of the kingdom, so we do the same thing again and again. Do you know why God created things like videos? Systems. So I don't have to preach the same message twice. I preach it once and it is captured in a system. And while I'm sleeping, I am multiplying the influence to millions of people. It's called systems. Don Muen has never met with you, yet you have been blessed by his ministry. The anointing also obeys systems. That's why everybody in every corner listening to Don Muen's songs will feel the anointing. Think about it. You are not a leader if you do not master building systems. When I learned this principle, it made my life easy. Look at how God built a system. God himself transferred governance to man and programmed that man and handed the earth to him. Systems. Now man is mishandling the earth largely, but it's a system. The first crops that came out of the earth, the Bible says God himself planted. I hope you know. Read your Bible. God planted trees. Systems. And then in the tree, he built systems. What is another name for that system? A seed. This is how God operates. A seed is not money. A seed is a mystery that represents the system of continuity. Continuity. In every man born of a woman, there is a seed that represents potentials for continuity. In every woman, there is a womb that receives a seed as potentials for continuity. So once there is a seed and there is a womb, there is reproduction. Hear me. Once there is a seed and there is a womb, there is what? Reproduction. A seed without a womb cannot bring reproduction. A womb without a seed cannot bring reproduction. You need to find the wombs of, there are many wombs on earth. A woman's womb is only an adumbration of many other wombs. The morning has a womb. Every day has a womb. You can impregnate it with words and it will give birth in the daytime. The pregnancy that happened in the night can be delivered for you in the daytime. Your mind is a womb. Information are the seeds. When you plant informations in your mind, like a woman gets pregnant over time, it will deliver to you and change your life. Are we blessed? God never does the same thing twice. When you find out that you are trying to do the same thing as a leader, the dominion mandate is not working in your life. There must be a system of continuity. Let me tell you, it's one of the reasons why we never grow and never flourish. How you know there is no system in your life is that your absence stops continuity. When your absence stops continuity, then there is no system. So you are the CEO of the company. You travel for 2 weeks, you come back and meet hellfire. There's no system. Nobody knows what to do. No system. If I'm not around for 1 year in Koinonia, it will still continue running. The only thing that will be missed is my unique grace and anointing. Why? Systems. That's how pastors should train pastors. You should be, if Pastor Alpha, Pastor Femi, and Promise are all my pastors, for instance, if you hear Pastor Alpha, you should not feel bad that I was not there. That's systems. I have reproduced myself in him. When you hear him, you will miss me. I love it every time I'm not around and people send me a text. They say, Apostle, we miss you, but God, Koinonia was fire. I said, that's right. Systems. But because of our inferiority and this village mindset that we have grown with, every time you are not around and things don't work, you are happy. Do you know why? That's why many leaders do not mentor and train others, because they think it is their way by exclusively capturing knowledge and keeping it. How many people have died with secrets that can turn the lives of people? How about anointings? No, if he carries the same anointing as I'm carrying, will he ever respect me again? Look at God. He didn't wait for you to be renewed. He gave you the Holy Spirit straight up. Immediately after confession, he granted you the Holy Spirit. He didn't say change. No, he granted you the Holy Spirit to help you. Part of the ways that we rule and dominate is by building systems around things. Your prosperity is not something that is in the hands of God today. Your prosperity has been programmed in a system. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God can, the systems are supervised. So it's not like they are random. There is still an individual supervising them. The same way you put systems, you can come and look at it and you can decide to influence it. That's a sign that you are the owner of the system. Somebody can slaughter someone as a thief and go back home and get his wife pregnant. That system will not stop because he's a wicked man. Now, he'll go to hell if he doesn't repent. But as far as that pregnancy is concerned, an unbeliever who does not know God taps into God's system of wealth and abundance. Hallelujah. I was telling the School of Ministry students that there's something I'm going to teach them about finances that I've not touched and I've not taught any of the sets. It's a revelation that God gave me that, if I teach you that and you don't prosper, I don't know how to help you again. I don't know how to help you. Systems. Let me give you a little tip of the iceberg. That being employed forever till retirement is a curse. Because in God's system, you start under people, but eventually, the goal is for you to be established yourself. So the spirit of servitude is such that you continue to serve a man. If you, not everybody will have platforms like churches, businesses, but even under those platforms, there must allocate a place that allows your grace to function. That is the spirit of God and is the program of God. That's why he carved out earth and gave man. But he gave man delegated authority. That means it is exousia, but it is still supervised. So he can call man to order, like Pharaoh could still call Joseph to order. But Pharaoh did not interrupt. It is the system we run koinonia with. That's why sometimes you never come and see me check. Have the leaders fixed this flower well? Systems. There are men of God, you are preaching, you are preparing sermon. They just call you and say, one wire has cut. You bike by yourself to Sabo and buy the wrong wire and bring it back. Before you finish, you forgot everything. And then you are stressing yourself. When you are doing everything by yourself, it's a sign that you are not functioning like God. Let me show you why many of our parents are under stress. They did not mentor the young people. So they kept doing everything. Now, the youngest person in the family is 31. Yet it's still father and mother that is providing food. Because they did not teach them how. Education does not teach you how. It just enlightens your mind. It is mentorship. It is discipleship that teaches you how. So a man of God starts a ministry and there are ordinary people, and then you start teaching them how to prosper. You show them the pathways to the anointing. Are we together? You don't hide it. There's nothing to hide. These are the secrets. You guide them. You mentor them. They receive measures of that anointing that is upon you. You have built a system and then they begin to function. The key to hardship is to not be able to reproduce yourself through systems. You will pay the price and you will never last. Everything that has lasted and outlived the founders subscribe to function like God. We're going to pray. Dominion. The chaos in our society today is because we have not conformed to his image and his likeness. his divine nature and his functionality. You see why it's important to get people saved? Because that is the condition that can guarantee the potentials for dominion. Ye must be born again. That's why we make altar calls. That's why we're still going to make altar call tonight. Because there are people scattered inside, outside, who need Jesus. Now, most preachers don't tell you why. They just say, come to Jesus. There is a hellfire somewhere to burn the living daylight out of you. And you run out of fear. You are born again and you don't know what you ran from and to what. Dominion. This is not just the issue of heaven. It does not take so much to be assured of heaven. Because it's not something you do by yourself. But when it has to do with your reigning, listen, the degree to which you have become like God in his image and his likeness is the degree to which you measure your success and your prosperity. Are you seeing why life cooperates with others? Life cooperates with God and everybody who functions like him. Life was designed to cooperate with God alone. If you are not God, life will not cooperate with you. So our needless sufferings and pains is because we have fabricated methodologies by ourselves, attempting to get God's result our way.
Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your home.
Someone is rising beyond every shadow, every shackle. Please rise up on your feet.
Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your
life. Listen, I want you to look at your life carefully. We're going to pray now. You can trace every negative thing to your life, to your inability to have conformed to the image or the likeness. There are troubles and sicknesses that have come to us today. High blood pressure because of worry. When the peace and the joy of God is in you, listen, there is no drug that can give you peace. There is no drug that can give you joy. When you smoke cocaine and snuff all kinds of things, they don't give you peace. They attempt it. You know why people try getting high and they take substance? They are looking for peace. They are looking for joy. They are attempting to use things. Life was designed to respond to you once you are a possessor of the gift of righteousness and then abundance of grace that comes through knowledge. Through knowledge. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Could it be, hear me, that this is the missing link in your ministry? Could it be that this is the missing link in your business? Could it be that this is the missing link in your family? Why are things not working? I'm always fighting with my wife. I think I made a mistake. I married a wrong woman. It's a lie. I think my children are stubborn. There may be something. You are fighting your children because you are trying to force them. You are violating something about the dominion mandate. You don't force people. You give them a revelation. You force your children to wear the cloth you want. You force them to read the course you want. Every time you force men, rebellion is inevitable. That's why the children revolt. But when you give them a revelation, you see that God never forces us. I set before you life and death. I set before you blessing and cursing. But here's my advice: choose life. Why? So that you can live. In other words, I want you to live. And if you must live, the key is choosing life. Not I force you to live. That's what parents are doing. And that's why children revolt. When you resort back to giving them revelations, look, it looks like I'm hard on you, but it's because I love you. I've made mistakes in my own life and I want you to be a great gentleman. I'm proud of you and I see potentials. That gentleman by himself will start talking in well. By himself will stop dressing like rags and remove all those things and start babbing well and not looking like a thief. The gentleman will subscribe immediately because you gave them revelation. But when you use force on people, you are acting as the Antichrist. Man was not mentioned in every element that was given that man should dominate, man was not given. There are pastors that dominate members and they never see, they are anointed but people never like them. They can walk into your house any day, anytime, cook for me, fry chips for me, I'm a man of God, add this and that for me. After all, Elijah told the Shunammite, Elijah did not force her. The woman had a right to refuse. The trouble in the world is a negligence of the dominion mandate. Nobody was born rich. Nobody was born poor. Are we together? People program themselves. Something in my life is hard. Creation is hostile to me. In the Garden of Eden, nothing fought Adam. Nothing. Satan was still alive, but Adam was immune. He only gave access. Lift your voice and pray and say, Lord, what key do I need to apply to my life? Please pray, pray. Why are things not working in my life? He spoke and said, let them have dominion. Why is my marriage not working? Why is my job not working? Why are doors closed over my life? Why do people hate me? I'm anointed. Why is my church not growing? Why can't I experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Why am I poor and broke and begging at all times?
Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your own.
Sing it one more time.
Yeah, let hope rise tonight. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Shena na na ma sena na de. Let hope, let it rise tonight. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Shena ma la na ma la na ma.
Hallelujah. Hold on. Genesis, please give us something. Just came into my heart and I want to share it with us. Genesis chapter 4. We are going to read verse 8. Let me show why our world is a wicked world. Because you see, every time people fail, instead of taking responsibility that I am violating the principles and the laws of dominion, usually we look for people to fight. The Bible says, and Cain, this was after the sacrifice. Are we together now? The sacrifice of Abel was taken and the sacrifice of Cain was rejected. What was wrong? Violation of patterns, violations of systems. Are we together? Now, Cain got angry. Cain can be your uncle. Cain can be your senior brother. You see where enmity came from? I am the senior brother in this family. How can this younger one be successful? That's what was happening. There are men who fight their wives. There are others who fight their younger ones. There are people who hate themselves. And the Bible says it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. What fruit of the Spirit was missing? No love. No love. No love. Are we seeing there now? Next verse. And the Lord said unto Cain, listen, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. That's the liar there at work in him. The manifestation of Satan at work. Am I my brother's keeper? No kindness. No, he had become hardened and wicked. Verse 10. Listen. He says, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Verse 11. He says, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy blood. Oh dear, I think I've lost myself. The verse I'm looking for, I think is the verse before verse 8, that says, Cain was angry and God told him, if you have done well, will it not be accepted? Maybe I'm sure it's the verses, other verses in front. We'll leave it because of time. That's the scripture I was trying to look for. That after Cain met with God and was angry, God told him, come, oh, that why are you angry that I accepted your brother's sacrifice and rejected yours? If you did it well, will it not be accepted? But if you do not do it well, sin lieth at your door. I think it's before. Yes. It says, give us verse 6. Verse 6. We'll read 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, thank you. This is the verse. Thank you, media. Why art thou what? Angry. God is speaking to you now. Emoji. Why are you angry at another man's church? That the church is increasing and you are not increasing. Businessman, why are you angry at another man's business? Why are you angry that your sister is having her children well cultured? He says, and why is thy countenance fallen? That's frustration. Verse 7. If thou doest well according to patterns, shall thou not be accepted? Then he says, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door. See, let me tell you, every time you don't do well, you will not get results. And when you don't get the results, anger, frustration will come in. That's why you hate successful people. There are times that you see somebody with a nice car and just say, thieves. All these young pastors, they are the ones who know how they are manipulating. You see someone anointed and you begin to speak. Cynicism is a product of not obeying. The dominion mandate was given to all men. Everybody say all men. The ministry, God called specific people into ministry, but capacity to execute the dominion mandate, legislature and governance, reproduction, fruitfulness, the capacity to subdue was given to all men. There's no need for jealousy. Lift your voice and insist and say, Lord, from tonight, you are giving me enlightenment. I have the gift of righteousness. Knowledge is causing grace to be abundant for me. I insist that I begin to reign. Shabakata prakasada balada balada bosh. I insist that I begin to reign. I insist that I begin to reign. I insist that I begin to reign. Pray, we're rounding up. I insist that I begin to reign. Pray. No one may have achieved certain things from where you come from, but you are the game changer. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light my life. Light me, Lord, like menorah. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Pray it. Light my life. Light my life. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Hallelujah. I'm rounding up. Listen. There are many of us seated here. If I ask, the number one need of people here right now is finances because of recession. Do you know why? There are people sitting and waiting for God to change their financial situation. I guarantee you, in the name of the Lord, it will never change. If you are waiting for it to change one day, the kingdom has a system built in. The price you have to pay is, Lord, light me. Open my eyes. Where am I missing it? Is it that I'm not tithing? Is it that I don't have relationships? I'm not building value. Where am I missing it?
because there are people, Nigeria is suffering today because we are missing something in the dominion mandate. We don't produce, we are not fruitful, we are not reproducing, so the earth is fighting us. Hallelujah. Let me give you the prayer point. You are going to say, Lord, show me the key. Some of you already have some keys, but there is a key you need. You can look at it and never see it until it is shown to you. A man can receive nothing except it is given. That you are opening the Bible does not mean illumination is entering you. Lift your voice and cry concerning that issue that attempts to dominate you. Open my eyes. I can't continue to be sick forever. Pray. Lord, I'm tired of financial struggles. I'm tired of hardship. I'm tired of being carnal. I'm tired of being weak. It is in my destiny to be spiritual, supernatural, anointed, divine, full of knowledge, full of grace. Pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last prayer point. I want us to pick. I tell you, don't miss next week's meeting. I will piece some things. I will show you God's system of governance and legislature, and why certain things don't obey you when you speak. We are taking it gradually. There are some of us, nothing works for you. You pray, no answer. You prophesy, no answer. Nothing divine. I will show you why next week. Hallelujah. One last prayer. Let's take the first command that was given to man. Be fruitful. I'd like you to cry and prophesy. I told you that the first way to function like God is your speech. Command everything that has refused to blossom in your life. Your spiritual life, your finances, your relationships, your career, your academics. Those who are students, your exams is coming. Pray. It won't be like before again. No. It won't be like before again. I program my reality. I determine my reality. I program my reality. I'm a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. A creative spirit. Joshua Selman, be fruitful. Koinonia, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. In business, be fruitful. In ministry, be fruitful. In your body, be fruitful. No barrenness, no barrenness, no barrenness. Everything works together for my good. I prophesy fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Everyone say after me, in the name of Jesus. Say, tonight marks a turnaround in my life. I create my realities. I stop letting things just happen. I make them happen. I speak like God. I make decrees like God. I speak to both animate and inanimate things, and I declare they must respond to me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to my health. I speak to my finances. I speak to my academics. I speak to my job. I speak to ministry. I speak to business. I speak to my body. Hear the word of the Lord. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. You walk with this and see the way things will begin to be altered in your life. Walk with this and see the way you will begin to create realities. Walk with this and you will see yourself exercising dominion. And then you will see triumph. Now, thanks be to God who causes us always to triumph. Always, not sometimes. Hallelujah. Keep standing, everyone, inside and outside. Give me a few minutes and we're done. We spoke about the first condition for to subscribe back to the life of authority and dominion. I said the first thing is your natural birth. Everyone hearing me is hearing me because you were born. But the second and more important than the first is your rebirth. There are people here who, whilst hearing me preach, the Holy Spirit began to speak to you and said, you need to make your ways right. Don't play games. You can deceive men, but it will affect your capacity for dominion. You know the things happening around your life and family. And there are others. You handed your life to Jesus Christ, but at a point in your life, things went, you know, just haywire, and you left the things of God. You are not serious, and you are saying, man of God, if you will make a call and include me, I will come here. Those two categories of people, those surrendering their lives truly and sincerely, you are not playing games. Overflow 1, 2, 3 online, connect with us. But you are in here, I believe there are people in here, there are people outside. Please, you have 1 minute. Wherever you are, I want you to make a bold step and come out here. I want to pray with you. We want to initiate you into that family of dominion. Don't wait for someone to come. Make your way. Make your way quickly. Appreciate them. I believe someone is coming somewhere. I believe someone is coming somewhere. If there are people coming from outside, clear the way for them. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. People are coming. Encourage them, Koinonia. You're saying, man of God, I'm tired of watching the way my life is. I'm tired of watching the way my family is going. I trust you, and I know that if you pray for me, that will be the beginning. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't let anyone stop you. You are saying, man of God, I gave my life to Christ one time, but I think I need to start afresh. I can't lie to myself. I need a fresh encounter. Join them quickly. Join them quickly. God bless you. Join them quickly. I'm tired of watching the devil prevail over my life. Koinonia, appreciate them. Those coming from outside, any of the overflows, make your way to the front. It's a new beginning for you. It's a new beginning for you. In the name of Jesus, no power will stop you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for making this bold decision. You see, gone are the days when people come out for altar calls. They come out as if they are responding, they are going for a burial. An altar call is like a speech and prize giving ceremony. You are being handed over something that no currency, no amount can buy. I want you to be very bold about it. Are we together? Lift your right hand and I want you to say this after me. Say it with faith. Jesus is in this place. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for me. I receive your life into my spirit. And I declare that from today, I am born of God. I am a child of God. The life of God is at work in my spirit. I declare that from today, I live a life of dominion. I live a life of victory. The power of the flesh, the power of sin, the power of Satan is broken over my life forever in Jesus' name. Keep your hands lifted. I declare your sins forgiven in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Spirit of God finds expression in your life from today. Everything that has dominated you, I decree and declare that you rise above it. I speak to you that this is the beginning of a new season in your life. Let the grace, the glory, the power, the wisdom of God begin to find expression in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will move
forever upwards, and you will never go down again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for making this bold decision. Now, please, all of you, this way, I just want you to follow the gentleman waving his hands. They would require a few details from you and communicate a few informations. Please cooperate with them. God bless you. Let's honor them quickly. Let's honor them quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternityNetworkInternational. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaEni. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.